Guilty Movie Pleasure fans, the day that Jesse and I covered Street Fighter the movie may have been the most important day of your life. But for us, it was Tuesday. Hadouken!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasure.
Shoryuken! Let's just keep doing that the whole time.
You should do it.
Hadouken, he sort of does a Hadouken in this. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Guilty Movie Pleasures. We are back in action with Street Fighter the Movie. I'm your host, Ben Begley, and with me as always is...
Jesse McIntosh.
Yeah, I remembered to do this time.
Yeah.
Like a real host.
It's points for you.
Points for me. Add that to my bonus.
For those keeping track.
Of Bitcoin.
Is that...
They pay us in Bitcoin.
Is that what's happening?
No. It's cryptocurrency, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
I only have two apps on my phone. So.
Did you try and explain Bitcoin to me or somebody else? I've had it explained to me five times.
From what I understand, it's smaller coins.
Yeah,
is that true?
I think so.
Just like parts
of coins.
It's like
Chuck E. Cheese tokens.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you break up a penny.
That's my understanding of Bitcoin. Okay.
I've been wanting... Now, here, tell me if this perception is true. We have two things I want to try and prove on today's show.
We're scientists.
First and foremost, I text Jesse. Oh, no. Secondly, I'll get into that. But first and foremost, I've had this in my head that I feel like I've pitched you this movie a dozen times and you've turned it down. Or is that just in my head?
Your pitches come in like bundles.
And so, maybe in my head, I know which one I want. I'm like trying to
will
it.
Always know which one you want, yeah. I think. But like they come in like groups of five or six. And I'm usually like, let's maybe do this one. And then you usually respond back, well, that's kind of similar to the one we already did. And it usually at some point whittles down to the one that you wanted.
So you're like, why did you even send me this bundle?
Just like, tell me what you want to do.
I've been wanting to do this for months.
Listen, it may have been included in some of the bundles.
So you weren't actively against covering this movie?
No. Uh-uh.
Had you ever seen this movie?
No.
Okay, then... Whew. Were you a Street Fighter fan back in the day?
Not really.
Okay. So we're covering, in case you didn't know, Street Fighter the movie, and this is the Extreme Edition. I own the Blu-ray, guys. That's how committed I am. I remember I loved Corey Ular, who's been on the show. He and I played Super Street Fighter 2, and we loved playing that game. And I'll never forget, he got so mad at me one time because I was M. Bison and I kept jump kicking him and I kept defeating him. It's not flawless victory, that's Mortal Kombat, but I kept defeating him without him getting a hit. And finally, he punched me in the arm so hard my arm went numb. And then
Ben Begley, yeah.
Corey got so mad at me, he punched me in the arm, and then he won that round because I couldn't. The buttons weren't working.
That's
I was cheating.
That's not honorable.
I meant to bring my. I still have with the case and booklet Super Street Fighter 2 on the Sega Genesis that I bust out every once in a while because that's my favorite version of the game. Even newer iterations, other than like Marvel versus Capcom, I love those. But of the Street Fighter games, Super Street Fighter 2 is still my favorite because it has everybody from the original Street Fighter 2. And Cammy and a ton of other people, but does anybody know, fans out there, tweet at me if they, I know they made a Street Fighter for Nintendo, but it was like a weird futuristic game. I don't know of a one with Ryu and Ken and Guile and Blanca and everything.
Don't future shame the game.
No, I'm just saying it seems like a different game completely.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if an original Street Fighter exists. But anyways, I remember seeing this movie and enjoying it, but even at the time realizing it's ridiculous. And my biggest gripe was in the game Ryu and Ken, or Ryu, Ryu is what I how I always pronounce it. I may be completely wrong. Ryu and Ken, they were the leads in the game. Mm-hmm. And then Guile was the lead in this. And I think... For some reason, I was 11 at the time, and I wasn't really exposed to that many Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, so I was just like, this guy's a terrible actor, is what I thought in this movie.
Yeah.
Turns out he was high on coke for most of it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I looked up a bunch of stuff on IMDb. I actually, like, prepared and stuff.
Nice. but if there is a movie to do it for,
it's this one.
Street Fighter.
You know,
movie,
hey, I gotta pull out all the stops. I have all the listed moves that they did in here.
Wow.
Anyways, but yeah, he was on coke a ton and would not come out of his trailer. And poor Raul Julia, this was his last movie, who played M. Bison. He was diagnosed with stomach cancer before the movie started production. And so why some of the fight scenes are so shitty in this movie is because they had to shoot all of M. Bison's stuff first and then like and all of his fight scenes. Uh-huh. And then they didn't have time to rehearse because they were busy choreographing the Jean-Claude Van Damme and Bison fight scene. that all the other stuff, they were saying the actors sometimes learn the choreography the day of, like hours before shooting.
Yeah.
It shows.
Yeah.
They still do great. They're all great martial artists. And Ming-Na Wen is in this, who plays Chun-Li, and she's Agent May on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She's a badass.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Agent May. But anyways, at the time, I thought it was kind of cheesy, and I thought it was okay. But watching it now, it's, in my opinion, one of the best terrible movies ever made. Because it is horrendously bad, but I was entertained from beginning to end, laughing my ass off at just... You can tell that it was Capcom just telling the studio everything they wanted and them trying to get some semblance of a story with a coked out lead and somebody who was unfortunately terminally ill. Just all these awful circumstances coming together to make this bizarre batshit movie that is a step up from Super Mario Brothers, if you can believe that, the movie.
I'm going to have a hard time.
We're going to cover it on here. I'm going to force you to.
Yeah.
Now that I went on my 14-minute dissertation and we have 10 minutes left in the show,
yeah.
Jesse, what did you think?
I thought it was fine. No, I'm kidding.
Every show starts, when it's something, you know I'm stoked about a movie when I talk about it for like 7 minutes straight in the beginning.
Yeah.
And when you're really quiet, I know you're not.
No, that's...
Or you're holding it.
That's not, yeah.
You're holding your cards.
Sometimes I just like to surprise you. Today is not one of those times.
Damn it!
You're not going to be surprised by my response to this movie at all. I thought it was pretty dumb. Like,
of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not like I'm not saying that I was expecting for it not to be dumb, but it was just like
I'm getting out the text.
It was obviously like it's a kid's movie, right? Like it was,
I don't even know.
It seemed like all the edges were rounded and like there was nothing that could have hurt us. Like everything was super predictable.
Yeah.
There was nothing that, like,
there's so many great jumps in logic that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
In this movie.
There's a lot of stuff where like the good guys could have eaten, like with the gas chamber where they should have all just died. But for some reason they took them out to like
the best is what. I know we'll get to this, but when Guile's big plan is to ride up in the elevator that Blanca was supposed to be in,
yeah,
and then jump kick M. Bison in front of 100 soldiers with machine guns, and then duck behind a few bricks.
Yeah, so
and just hang out there for the entire shootout.
There's just like a general disinterest in the way things work. Like this unit... committed just a mutiny on whatever government they're answering to.
Yeah.
And the government was just like, well, I guess they're doing that.
Yeah.
Like there's no response by the allies or anything. It was just like, okay.
Well, that's why the AN is there.
Right.
The allied nations.
But that's what I'm saying. Like no one, they like went to stop them and then no one was ever like, well, we asked them not to and they decided to.
The bureaucrats try and get them to bow to Bison, and that's when we'll play Guile's speech later. Yeah. Don't worry.
But like, so
I'm gonna see how close I was.
My reaction to it as that it was a kid's movie is based on like a general either disinterest or lack of understanding or lack of caring
mm-hmm.
in like the mechanics of things
of movies in
of,
general
of anything. And just like here are things that people familiar with
like,
the game will be
yeah.
into.
Well, that's another
and
thing.
Like,
yeah.
So,
keep going.
And then, like, to me, not being familiar with the game, you tell me. The game is based on hand-to-hand combat, right?
Yeah.
Are there a ton of guns in the game?
No.
Right. So this whole movie is based on an arms race and a world war.
Yeah.
And, like, it's called Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Why isn't it more just, like...
Mortal Kombat, the movie?
A minuscule story on the street
yeah.
where people are fighting on the street. Like, and the fight scenes, like you telling me that people learn the choreography the day of sometimes. If you're making a movie called Street Fighter, maybe make that important.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
be like, we probably shouldn't rush these hand-to-hand combat scenes because this is sort of like our deal.
Yeah. I did realize like about an hour in, I was like, man, there's not a lot of fighting.
No, there's no fighting.
And then there is in the last like 30 minutes, they throw in some fighting.
A little bit. But like they try and hint at in the beginning with like the cage match that immediately gets shut down.
Which we'll get to that because Guile has no regard for any bystanders that might be standing in the way of his tank crashing through
this
that
cage.
This is
what I'm saying
wall.
Is that and then he's just like able to arrest everybody and no one's like, should we riot and get out of here? Everyone's just like, damn, I guess we're arrested now.
It's so good. See, but that's why I loved it. I was laughing so hard because there's no internal logic to this movie.
There's none.
Did you find anything hilarious? Were you just frustrated?
I'm being a little harsh. I wasn't like frustrated at all because, like I said, I had this set of expectations going in that it was going to be a little bit like winky. But just like take some care. There were a couple of, I'm trying to remember like the moments where I was like, oh boy. When we talk about the movie, it'll pop up and
I'm wrong then today. Cause here's what I text Jesse earlier today. Uh-huh. I'm going to guess you found it confusing not knowing the background of Street Fighter since they just keep throwing characters at the screen. Correct?
Only a little bit. Like it was way more, I was able to follow it way more than I was the Transformers.
Oh, don't bring that up again. We're going to get yelled at.
No, because they were human beings mm-hmm. and they all had unique personalities mm-hmm. that I could discern immediately
Zangief
from seeing them.
Might be my favorite.
Like, I got it all. I knew who they were independent of the game. Like, I'm sure people who had background with the game would see the characters and be like, hell yeah. But it took me maybe a minute.
Then my next section of it said, but hilarious in moments and ultimately a bad movie.
Ultimately a bad movie, I think is.
Did you find it hilarious in moments?
There were a couple moments where I laughed, and I'm trying to, when we go through it, I'll hit them, but I'm none are like immediately.
I was laughing hysterically from beginning to end at this movie. And just, let's just get into it. Cause I love it. This movie is to me why I do this podcast. Cause it's so silly. It doesn't make any sense. The Mortal Kombat movie, at least, like, as goofy as it gets in points, they actually try to make it close to the game. This is just like action film, the movie with Street Fighter characters, but it's so fun. Let's do the plot in under 3 minutes. Oh, here we go. I love it.
All right, guys. Rock and roll in 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
So we have this little intro that I like to call exposition news, where Chun-Li and a bunch of other newscasters basically tell you that M. Bison has taken over this fictional Asian city or country of Shangaloo, I think. Shangaloo or whatever they
Something
call
like
it.
That, yeah.
And he's captured these refugees and he's holding them hostage, saying, give me $20 billion or I'll kill them and I'll kill these soldiers that I kidnapped as well. Guile gets on and says, hey, I know you like to look at yourself. Look at this. And he flexes, and you can tell immediately Jean-Claude Van Damme's on coke. Then there's Vega cage fighting, and Ryu and Ken are introduced, and they're about to fight him. And then we also realize there's a scientist that is experimenting on Charlie, who's Carlos Blanca, who's Guile's friend. And then, boom, right before the fight between Vega and Ken and Ryu, which would have been awesome, Jean-Claude Van Damme busts in the tank and arrests
them all. They're about to get shipped off somewhere. Do we know where?
No.
Great. And then the two guys are like, hey,
Sagat
Vega. He pulls them aside and is like, I need help. Like, you guys are my guys. And
Guile. Yeah.
And they're like, okay. And so they like get the key and they try and escape. And then the guy with the eye patch is like,
Sagat,
I can help you. And they're like, well, okay.
And they kill Guile.
Yeah. Uh huh.
And then they escape,
right.
And they put a tracking device, but then Chun-Li puts a tracking device on there as well, and then realizes Guile is still alive, and then escapes, and Guile's like, what a woman. And then they have Zangief and Bison. Meanwhile, Bison doesn't understand why everybody thinks he's this dictator. He just wants to get these super soldiers, mow over all of his enemies, and then rule
That's all
everything.
He wants.
Just
yeah.
everything.
That's all he wants.
And Raul Julia is amazing in this. And then, good God, there's so much. Then they're gonna do an arms deal, but then Chun-Li says, gives them a lot of time to escape as this truck full of explosives careens towards them and it blows up and they're pissed off and they escape. They kidnap Chun-Li, Ryu, Ken, E-Honda and Balrog. They take them all to the big base where then Guile and everybody is gearing up to go as Chun-Li and M. Bison have this little tete-a-tete about how he killed her father. And then
the big plan is Jean-Claude Van Damme's going to get in this boat and distract them while everyone else attacks from the other side.
Stupid.
And so he comes in stealth mode, which it just makes him invisible, I guess. And then they're able to perceive him. And so then they like shoot him up.
Spit out my coffee.
And then there's a minefield and the mines start and they jump out. And
he's using a Street Fighter 2 joypad.
Yeah,
for
uh-huh,
it.
Oh, yep.
God. Oh, God. Okay. And then everybody's fighting. E-Honda and Zangief are fighting. Ryu, Ken and Vega and Sagat are fighting. And then there's M. Bison and Jean-Claude and Guile face off, and then he gets kicked into a TV after being electrocuted, and his suit brings him back to life, and then he dies, and then Guile comes out, and he's like, hey, I'm okay, he can fly. You can fly. There's a post-credit scene. Did you know that?
Ooh, good sound.
There's a post-credit scene. Did you know that? I absolutely did not know that. I fast-forwarded to the end because I thought vaguely I remembered it, and then I read on IMDb, because I did my research, that, look, maybe I should do this more often, because I know trivia.
Up to you.
That... There's like a Sam Raimi type ending where the camera pans over the TVs that have been destroyed, and his hand shoots out from it, and then he clicks on this screen that's saying Bison's play on whatever, and then he clicks on replay, which is the most overt arcade metaphor.
Is that
aside from him actually playing an arcade game as he's trying to blow him up, Guile up with the
right
with the underwater mines,
yeah,
which was hysterical to me.
That one was a funny moment for sure.
Okay, let's just talk about how, even though he's super over the top, Raul Julia as M. Bison is pretty great.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
He's, to me, he's like, for what he's chewing the scenery in the best way. He did a ton of research on this, and he said. They said he researched various dictators and crime lords and mimicked their traits and incorporated their mannerisms. Notably, oh God, my phone just went crazy. Benito Mussolini, his hand gestures, Joseph Stalin's mannerisms, Pablo Escobar's elusiveness, and Adolf Hitler's love of art. And he also looked at him as the same type of villain as Richard III, so he took a Shakespearean tone. Hence the nerdiest t-shirt I own, which I'm going to show you, podcast listeners. Super Shakespeare fighter, Juliet versus Desdemona. Yeah,
that's actual audio from our listeners.
It's get excited.
Ooh.
I got this. Is the nerdiest shirt I own. It combines my love of Shakespeare and my love of Street Fighter video games.
I will say he was good, but it's hard.
No one cares.
It's hard to say if he was good or if he was good in relation to every single other person in this movie.
I would argue that he's good in general.
That's good.
And
yeah, that's entirely possible.
But he's lifted up even more by the fact that, like, I honestly think that, because then later on, I was 11, so I wasn't, my parents were very strict. I wasn't able to see, this came out in 93, right? Yeah. I wasn't able to see R-rated movies and all that stuff. My parents sheltered me a lot, so 94, so I was 12. But I ended up seeing, like, Time Cop when I was, like, 13. I started getting more into Van Damme, stuff like Hard Target and things that we've covered on the show. But yeah, if you've never seen Van Damme before and suddenly he's the lead in, like, one of your favorite video game properties, and you're like, what? He's not a bad actor. You can just tell he doesn't give a shit about this role.
Right.
He doesn't care.
Well,
because he was high on coke.
Yeah, it's Street Fighter.
And sitting in his trailer, they had to drag him out of his trailer and say he wouldn't come to set. They said he was a nightmare. What if we just talk about this the whole time?
Imagine being on the set of the movie Street Fighter the movie, and then the main guy won't come out of his trailer.
So
you're like, God damn it! Like, I was on a veil for this other thing, and I could have done that, but here I am, Street Fighter.
Yeah.
I guess, are they all...
frustrating.
Like, how many of them were like, combat people, and how many of them are actors before this?
Well, Ming-Na Wen, who plays Chun-Li, and who's Agent May on one of my favorite shows, she's badass. She knows martial arts.
She was also pretty good.
She's great.
Like Kylie Minogue was surprisingly good.
Surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Ken and Ryu aren't terrible. They're just given really crappy.
They're pretty bad. They're very campy with one another. Like, they're very like, like every time.
But I feel like that's more of a direction.
That's possible.
Because those guys are clearly martial art.
Yes.
Everybody here is pretty good at martial arts, I feel like.
Sure. Wish we could have seen more of it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing. You introduce all these characters and then none of them fight.
Yep.
Let's play the first clip. This is when Guile, aka Jean-Claude Van Damme, gets a little bit of that. They say that a lot of these action movies are romantic comedies in disguise. Mm. And I think that secretly Guile and M. Bison have some sort of love for each other in their hatred. And just play the clip.
That bastard Bison! I know you like to look at yourself on television, you sick son of a bitch. So look at this.
The best is the way it's framed. He's not even like... The way the first shot is framed, you don't even see like his full arm. It's like he stops it. So it's like, you look at this. And you're like, what am I looking at?
But also like
there's so many shots of just his sweaty bicep.
That statement doesn't make sense.
No.
I know you like to look at yourself on TV, so look at this. What does that mean?
I told you.
Is his face on his arm? That do we miss it?
So look at this. I got a tattoo of you, so we could be best friends.
This is from our old drinking days together.
Yes. Next time we arm wrestle, our faces could kiss.
Yeah. Very strange phrasing of that. I don't know.
So it's so weird that they basically just shove all this exposition at you in the beginning, and
there's also like it's being broadcast, like he hacks into the broadcast or whatever
around the globe
and then somehow his production team gets with the TV production team because the TV's like cutting back and forth between the two of them. It's like, well, if he cut into your feed, it's just gonna be him. Unless there's a producer in the background. All right,
we go boom, back to you. He was DJing literally between the two.
Yeah,
and also, if you cut into the feed, maybe you wouldn't want to show Guile one-up you. Raul Julia's face in that is so great, because he, like, comes into the close-up, like, and his eyes are, like, twitching. It's like, whatever this bicep flex means between them, there's some history. Because Bison is pissed when he sees that bicep.
Listen, maybe that was more research he did on his character, and he was like...
Maybe Stalin hated biceps.
Everyone knows that, dude. I was like,
everyone knows.
I was searching for the guy, but he's definitely Stalin.
That's why he wore those big coats.
Yeah.
Not because it was cold in Russia.
No.
He was hiding his tiny biceps.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing. Oh, God. So then there's all this. There's Vega, who should have been, because in the game, Vega was always one of my favorite characters. He's this, like, he fights like a bullfighter. He has this amazing, cool mask, this claw, which, by the way, not fair to do a cage fight when you have a claw and they're bare fist fighting you.
It's not, first of all, it's not fair. Second of all, like, it was so clear that Vega was the favorite of the filmmakers here. Like, they gave him so much, like, and everyone else was just like some schmuck that walked on screen.
Oh, yeah. He gets such a great intro.
He gets an intro,
everybody.
He gets masks, he gets the claw, he gets like all that stuff.
The best is when Ryu gets in there and takes his shirt off, and the woman holding an I Love Vega sign goes, oh, and throws it, and then Vega goes like, oh? There's all this, like, amazingly over-the-top acting in these scenes where, like, just how they treat Vega like a 50-year-old woman's version of the Beatles is what they're, where they're all freaking out over this man who murders people in cages.
This is the dude. Yeah.
This is the dude. Yeah. I mean, he is shredded.
He is. I would not want to street fight him.
This is a true fact. It's on IMDb.
So it is true.
Fabio was considered for the role of Vega.
And what happened?
I guess.
He was on not enough coke?
He was either on not enough coke or on too many book covers, and he was too overexposed. Could you imagine if Fabio was Vega?
I'm going to spend the rest of my day doing that.
I mean, you got to figure he would have to do a better role somewhere in that role.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be so good. If Fabio was Vega, that would have changed.
Do you think Fabio said no because
I don't think he was ever officially asked.
Because we were introduced to Vega and Vega was wearing a mask and Fabio was like, I will not wear masks.
I will not wear a mask.
My face is too beautiful.
And I will not braid my hair. You must let it flow.
This is what you get.
Why is this our Fabio voice? Is that even how he talks?
Not at all.
Not at all. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. So then there's... they introduce... The other thing is that when you were talking about, like, internal logic, this movie has none.
Right.
So I would love to call out the lack of internal logic in scenes that I thought was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Guile's talking on a full nation, worldwide broadcast to M. Bison, and at the very end of it, he goes, Charlie, don't worry. We'll get you, Charlie. I'm coming for you, buddy. As if that's like some secret message just to Charlie, who happens to be at that exact moment the soldier they have right in front of M. Bison. And Charlie looks like this, and he looks over and goes, Carlos, Blanca, Charlie, I guess we found our new super soldier. And it's like, what? What? I feel like you've said several times on this show that it seems like that was a rough draft placeholder to be like, we'll figure out a way to really like massage this and make it fit and kind of flow better. Uh-huh. And then they're like,
Nope.
Van Damme's on a lot of coke. We just got to shoot we have 30 minutes of shooting
this
today.
This is what we got in take one. And so we're going to use it.
It's such a funny moment. Like it'd be like if John McClane in Die Hard on the radio, the first time he talks to Hans was like, and by the way, Holly, Holly, don't worry. Yeah. Holly, don't worry. It's going to be okay, Holly, my wife.
Right.
You know, it's like, what?
Wait, what?
Why would you do... You immediately put him in danger.
Yeah.
They weren't even...
Just be like, we'll come get you, soldiers.
Yeah.
We're on our way.
Or use a different name.
Yeah.
Like a nickname you had.
You probably don't even have to use a name. You probably don't have to say it at all, to be honest.
No, he knows.
He knows. He hears you.
So really, we could blame Guile for the tragic fate of...
Yeah,
Blanca the Beast.
We also like
who looks like a troll from the movie Trolls by the end.
I guess like increased muscle mass also like changes the way your hair
behaves. In the game, that's how he looks. So I appreciate the fact that they tried to make him look green and with the orange hair, but it doesn't fit in a real life thing.
It just doesn't make sense.
Any sense.
Like, well, maybe he looked like that prior to the like hulking up of.
Excuse me, did you see all those bags that said DNA mutagens, beware and caution?
Yeah, I did.
They look like ectoplasm and like Kool-Aid bags.
Yes.
And they have the most overt, it literally says DNA mutagens.
Yeah,
beware.
They would probably just put the beware part on there, or like caution or hazardous any other like mass produced caution sticker.
But that's where you saying it feels more like a kid's movie comes into play, where it's like, obviously they did that for kids.
Yes.
Oh my God, we're focusing so much on the minutiae. I love it. Then one of the other great intros we get to Guile is mid-meeting when that guy tries to assassinate him and he just sweeps his leg out from under him and basically crushes his esophagus, his windpipe, and then goes, so, any other updates? And you're just like, what? See, that was an awesome moment to me of ridiculousness, because the way he plays that off of just being like, all right, nothing happened. I get almost killed every day.
Right.
It's like in Last Action Hero when Arnold Schwarzenegger goes into his bedroom and shoots the closet, and a guy drops out and he's like, how'd you know he was in there? There's always somebody in there. It's like, yeah. I love that kind of stuff.
There's all like the introduction to Bison when like the two soldiers are like one by one allowed to try and fist fight him, and he kills both of them
just with neck snaps immediately.
Yeah.
Why would anybody volunteer at that?
I don't know.
Were they volunteering or being forced? I think they're being forced.
I don't think so. They like pulled the thing over like from over his head and they untied him and they were like, all right.
Yeah, he does charge at him, like, I'm going to be the one.
Yeah. Which is silly because they're like in a bunker with 100 soldiers. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Guile didn't care later on when he just did a flying jump. Look at this. That'll be great for the podcast listeners. Oh, so then we have all this stuff with Ken and Ryu. There's a lot of buildup where we learn about Bisonopolis and how Bison is really focused on the food court. And Ken and Ryu basically get, because Guile sees how badass they are in a prison yard fight. I use that term fight loosely,
right?
Because it's over in like 3 seconds. But he recruits them because he realizes they're not bad guys. They're just kind of crooks. They're stealing from bad people to get rich. But they're not the best people.
Yeah, you just reminded me of a moment that I laughed out loud at. When they are like watching the sumo wrestler and the boxer get taken away, and they're like, oh man, it sucks to see that happen to the good guys. We're on the same side. And it's just so like explicitly spelled out there. Like, although we've done bad things, we are good guys.
We are good guys.
Please root for us.
In case you're confused, kids.
Yeah.
So then. Basically, there's this jailbreak, which is the stupidest jailbreak ever, but it had, like I said, I love it because it makes absolutely no sense. So, Ken and Ryu pretend to get in a fight with even worse acting than normal, and Ken gets the keys, and then Sagat is like, pass me the keys, we'll help you escape, like you said. And then instead of waiting till they pull safely away from this military prison, away from hundreds of soldiers with guns and Guile and out of the city, they unlock themselves there, immediately jump out, punch a few guards, get in the truck while people are shooting live rounds.
Yes.
They don't. It's not like Guile sets up, oh, we're going to shoot blanks, so they think it's...
Right.
No, there's actually like bullet holes and walls and pedestrians around and other soldiers.
Yep.
Not a single criminal gets killed. And they just barrel through and drive off. And then Guile comes out and is shooting at him again with live rounds. And he gets shot in the sides, and somehow he has some kind of blood packet there that kills him. And then they just drive off, and immediately Sagat is like, you guys, you're good people. But then Guile's death, when Bison finds out about it, his speech is so good. Pretty much all my sound clips that I pulled are Bison or Kyle. So let's play clip number two.
That's great news, General. Congratulations.
On the contrary, I mourn.
Okay.
I was hoping to face Kyle personally on the battlefield. One gentleman warrior to another in respectful combat. Then I would snap his spine. Ah! The road not taken.
It's so good. Come on, that's so Shakespearean.
It's beautiful.
That's give his dialogue is better written and better acted than this movie remotely deserves.
Oh, by a bunch. By a bunch.
Ah, the road less to... You can tell he's having a blast.
Yeah, let's talk about two things with respect to this
DJ's
prison.
Okay, it's hilarious.
It's great.
Congratulations.
He's great. I love him.
Okay.
I love him.
It's so funny.
So, Guile fakes his death and then, like, remains... faking dead until someone happens to come pull the sheet over his face.
That's the first thing I wrote down was, how long was he laying here?
How long was he intending to lay there?
Like, did they hear Chun-Li was coming in and he was like, quick, everybody.
This will
like
be
a
funny?
Kid waiting to like, surprise
what,
his... Like,
what was he thinking? And then the other thing about this whole, like, the sort of logistics of this yeah. is you mean to tell me that he's, like, the leader of an army unit, but is for some reason making... arrests in town and then he is based out of the prison? What is going on?
I don't just so they can be right next to
yeah
so everything can be right there
right but like
doesn't make any sense.
What
I guess it's a military prison,
sure, but then why is he going into town arresting people? He's fighting a war, right?
I guess that's
he's not police.
He has some overreach.
Okay, I guess. He's just very motivated.
But it's my favorite moment is when Chun-Li goes in there and she sees Guile's body and she lifts it up and she's sad. And then she puts it back down and he hops up. It's like, I would have loved, this is moments where I would love to see a short film about just Guile waiting there for 3 hours.
What
just like,
happened?
Or like 12 hours, just like, fuck, oh, gee, I feel like somebody's going to come here, right?
Like, I have to use the bathroom.
Oh, is that somebody?
Is it?
Oh, that's just Cammy. Cammy, get out of here! Yeah.
Cammy, can you make sure no one comes? Because I got to pee.
Cammy, somebody's going to come in here eventually, and then I'm going to go, aha!
Yeah.
It wasn't even like an aha moment. He's just like, yep.
Right.
Maybe he just needed a nap after those squibs. It
That'd
just took a lot out
if
of him.
If he napped with the covers over his face and he was truly just napping.
Or what if it was that, like, Van Damme was on coke and was like, I'm just going to lay here until you're ready. And then, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. No, that didn't work. It's all right. So then Zangief has some good one-liners, but they don't work in sound clip form except for one that I pulled later. Because it's after big monologues, like Bison gives this whole speech about why he doesn't think he's evil and how he wants to bring peace by destroying every nation's armies. And Zangief's just like getting choked up and like, that's so beautiful. And I love Zangief. He's such a goofball. And then there's they go to this arms deal and Chun-Li sends this is doing this weird. They're doing like this circus act in front of Bison for some reason.
Couldn't tell you.
I don't know why, just because she looks great in that outfit, I guess.
Sure.
Or to show that they're infiltrating it somehow, but they didn't need to do that. Because they put explosives in his truck that seems like it's miles away.
Yeah.
Because, and this is another defying logic moment that I thought was so funny, is that they give Bison and Sagat so much time to escape the tent that this truck full of explosives is careening towards.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's no one driving it, and it's crashing through all these poor merchants, like shops and
right.
and just like these street dealers. They're just like, ah, come on! First Bison, now you assholes, come on!
Yeah.
And then it blows up, and off camera, Chun-Li and her and E. Honda and Balrog are captured.
Right.
Next thing you see them, they're in handcuffs. So they didn't have the foresight to make it blow up quicker to kill Bison or to escape.
Yeah.
What happened?
Don't know. Their plan was not well thought out.
No. And then Ken and Ryu are immediately outed, too.
Yeah.
It's like...
So I think... was this...
It's so silly.
Was this the moment at the circus which she got to perform in. She must know the booker, I guess.
I know.
I don't know how she got in on that.
They did a great job, though, with the tossing up of the barrel. And then I don't know how they did it, except for cutting and having her get out of the barrel, because it's physically impossible.
Don't know. But is this where they're doing the arms deal and he, like, produces the money?
And it's bison bucks or whatever.
It's bison bucks.
Yeah.
And he's like, for someone who is so, like, he's asked for $20 billion, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, once I kidnap the queen, it's going to be
worth 1.5 pounds.
It's going to be 5 pounds for each one of these. And it's like, you couldn't have, like, reached for the stars a little more on your own currency? Like, you settled at 5? What's that about?
I did write that down.
It was a very strange choice by him to be like, well, $20 billion from you guys, but we'll be modest with my currency.
And Sagat is immediately pissed off about that, rightfully so. And they're about to shoot. There's a moment where you're like, oh, here comes a fight.
Yep.
And then Ken and Ryu walk in and they make them choose sides. And then the explosion happens. And Sagat is kind of a unwilling ally now, I guess, because they just go to this evil base. And then pretty much the rest of the movie is just hanging out at this evil base until the big fight scene at the end. So let's get into that, because we have Guile's speech, which is this bureaucrat comes by and goes, we're going to give him, it's this guy who's this British dude that plays this in every movie I've ever seen him in, where he's like, we're going to give him the money, don't worry, just pack up your things, you're fired, all right? And then he says, I think you lost your balls. And then he goes and he gives this rousing speech that ends with this.
Well, I'm not going home. I'm going to get on my boat and I'm going upriver and I'm going to kick that son of a bitch bison's ass so hard that the next bison wannabe is going to feel it. Now, who wants to go home and who wants to go with me?
That's my favorite part of the end. And who wants to go with me?
I think he says and.
And who wants to go with me?
I know, but he's who wants to go home and who wants to go with me? Like, that's an and. That means they want both of those things.
Yeah, you're right. Like, so I think he says, and who wants to go with me?
Yeah, so it's very unclear what these people want.
Who wants to go home and who wants to go home with me?
Yeah.
I have Gino Nino's pizza rolls at home, all right? Yeah. My mom cooks them perfectly in the oven so that they're not too hot, but not frozen.
Yeah, this is very funny.
Do you remember that in the 80s?
Yeah,
you'd have Gino Nino pizza rolls?
It's either,
you'd either bite into them and it'd burn the roof of your mouth, or you'd bite into them and they'd be warm in the middle and then frozen.
Yeah.
The pepperoni chunks would be frozen.
It's not an ideal consistency.
No. I don't know if it was the oven's fault delicious. Or they are
I
delicious.
I prefer them smoking hot because I just let them cool.
I prefer them like I prefer my coffee burning the roof of my mouth and killing my taste buds for at least several hours.
You prefer your coffee that way?
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Weird thing. It's fascinating.
I actually
didn't know where I was going with that, and I just kind of made it up on the fly, and it clearly showed.
That was like a fight scene from Street Fighter, where they were like, just get out there and do it. this is very funny to me that he was just able to convince this entire group of loyal soldiers to commit mutiny in like matter of 2 seconds.
And not just like, this isn't like the U.S. military. This is the
the allied nations.
Allied nations.
Yeah.
So these are soldiers from all over the world who just go, yep.
Yep, sounds good.
All right. There's a woman, though, during this, while all the soldiers are running off, who just has her shoes in her hand.
Right, yeah.
And she's running around confused. Like, her reaction is like, almost like, wait, you forgot your shoes, but I know they're hers.
Yeah.
But she's literally just running around like, it's
just like, we need to show chaos.
And so how?
Do we
take
have
your shoes off?
A woman with shoes.
At first, I swear she only had one.
And then she
and
had
I thought
second.
She was just like, where's my other shoe? And then at the end, though, of that scene, she has both, and she still has the same expression. So clearly it wasn't fear for having lost her one shoe.
That's another one we need to see a 3-minute film about. The woman who wanders onto the base and it just is like...
What if we start raising money just to do the most asinine short films based on these plot holes?
I would love it.
Go fund us. Anyways, this is actually, I was telling Jesse before this, I quote this to my wife all the time in different ways. Because it's one of my favorite villain lines in the history of cinema in a movie that doesn't deserve it, but I love it. Play clip number 4, please.
I'm sorry. I don't remember any of it.
This is after Chun-Li said he killed her father.
You don't remember?
For you, the day bison graced your village was the most important day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday.
I do that constantly with Renee.
Yeah.
When she's like, babe, don't you remember? Like, I did the dishes. I put it away. Where did I put the honey? And I'll be like, babe, the day you put the honey somewhere else was the most important day of your life. For me, it was Tuesday. And she's just like, I don't know what that means.
I'm surprised she hasn't killed you.
But just help me. Yeah. I do stuff to her all the time. Oh, whenever, instead of being like, the dishes are done, I'll be like, the dishes are donezo, Washington. And she's like, stop. That's not funny.
Ooh.
Or I'll be like, if I'm tired, I'll say, man, I am so John Tuckered, must die. From that movie, John Tucker. Yeah. And she's like, "What? You didn't even see that movie. Why are you making that a tired thing?" And I'm like, I don't know.
It is now.
Because it's a thing.
That's, make it our thing.
It's our thing. It's, she's our, like, thing. It's your thing, it's that definitely. You're trying to force to be our thing.
Right.
So there's all this stuff where I love this scene between Chun-Li and Bison. Because I actually think Ming-Na Wen, for what she's given, I think she's awesome in general. But she's not given a ton, but she does a good amount with it. And this scene where she gets full on a rage and he thinks she's harmless and she snaps her wrist cuffs and then she starts kicking his ass. And then, like you said, they all bust in and he hides behind glass and they get gassed. But yeah, it's just knockout gas for some reason.
I guess
instead
so.
Instead of just murdering your foes.
Right. But they're knocked out. Like, he should have disposed with all of them right then.
Yeah.
Like, we never see why they're dragged out of that
room.
Or
at least don't drag them out and then chain them all to the same pipe. Like,
right.
Put them in different cages, because he's just setting himself. He's classic bad guy, megalomaniac, who just thinks he can get away with everything.
Sure, but this is not even like, I got you, and now I'm going to tell you why I'm going to kill you, giving the good guy time to come up behind me. This is like, you are unconscious in my control,
yep,
and I am taking you from the unconscious contained room.
For no reason.
For no reason, to a conscious, uncontained space.
For no reason.
For no reason. And we never see why, and we never understand why. And there's, like, it's not even to, like, see anything happen. It's just like, come on out.
You're right.
Everyone I should have killed.
He's going to murder the hostages, I guess?
I don't know.
But I don't fully understand if that's what the time limit
is.
But
he doesn't even know yet, because he's checking the balance on his
thing. Balance is zero.
By the way, you can't have a bank account with a $0 balance. It's impossible.
They'll charge you fees.
You have to open it with the balance in there.
Yeah.
So
that's maybe their first mistake.
That's like, even a local credit union will make you do that, let alone like a Swiss bank where you can
hide
funds.
I wish I was in the room when that happened. You're like, no,
yeah.
I could take everything in this movie except this. Come on, put at least $25. You get, we already know that you'll get $15 fees every month.
Yeah.
Can we do clip number 5? Because this is when Guile is approaching in his stealth boat, which is basically just a mirror boat, which you can still clearly see the waves coming out of it. So it's not very stealth, but every bad guy is like, what is this thing coming towards us that's shooting and blowing up all of our guns? This is his big hero line to Bison.
This is General Bison. Our defenses are locked onto you. Identify yourself.
This is the collection agency, Bison. Your ass is 6 months overdue, and it's mine.
I don't...
What?
I've never heard that phrase before. Like I said, these guys, I think there might be some sort of, romantic interest there or something.
He's interested in his ass.
Your ass is 6 months overdue, and it's mine. You know? I mean, like, that sounds like a pickup line.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
like, if you see, like, an ex-girlfriend and you guys are kind of drunk and buzzed and they're like, hey, what are you thinking about doing tonight? And you're like, well, your ass is 6 months overdue and it's mine.
And she's like, listen, when I broke up with you, it was the most important day of your life.
For me.
But for me, it was Tuesday.
Yes! Yeah! I love it. I love it. So that was one of my favorites. I don't even care if anybody was watching that. So
this is always like, they did this a couple times in this sequence also,
yeah,
where they're like, prepare for stealth mode. It's like, why? You don't need to do anything to prepare for stealth. Just hit the stealth mode
button.
Yeah,
and
you're
there's
fine.
There's no like buckle in and...
No. They didn't, nothing changed in their experience of it. I mean,
did you notice they kept showing the same shots of just trees with fire bombs going off behind them and not anything actually exploding every time they blew up a gun?
Yes.
And I think it was the same explosion. They just reversed it to make it look like a different, I don't know. But then, so Bison's using his Street Fighter II controller and he's making the mines come up and he blows up the ship. But after we guess that they're jumping out because they take their seatbelts yeah. off and say they're going to jump out.
Because I guess they know that the big finale's coming. I don't know. I don't know why he didn't just explode all of them at once. Once the boat got like, he should have just let them come and then like explode all of them. Yeah. Just yeah, all, he was yeah. like one at a time trying to pick them off.
You know, this is Bison. He's a sportsman. He's sure. got some sportsmanship behind everything. He wants ritual combat so then he can snap his spine. The yeah. path not taken.
This is true.
I think he just wanted to face him mano a mano.
That's
he mean, wanted to find out what your ass is mine, and he's come to collect mains.
Yeah. I have one question for you.
I've several, but yeah. the main one is, what does collecting it mean? I don't understand.
Can I have $25 to put in my bank account, please?
They keep charging me $15. It's wasteful. So when the boat blows up, this is one of the more famous lines that you'll see in the GIFs of it and memes and stuff. This is M. Bison clearly referencing the video game. Clip number 6.
Game over!
Intruder destroyed.
Intruder destroyed. Oh my god. I love this movie so much. It's so silly. I don't even know what to riff on with Game Over. It's so obvious. Yeah. But I hope that if Robert Mueller ever comes up with anything,
yeah.
that the second he drops it on Trump's desk, which maybe he doesn't have anything, I don't know, but the second he drops it on his desk, good or bad news, just to, as like a middle finger, he just goes,
game over!
And then even if it's like, yeah, we really didn't find anything, at least he went out with a bang.
Yeah.
Or he's like, haha, seriously, game over!
It'll be his mission accomplished banner.
Do the knockout gas, so then we can just have him outside yeah, on the lawn. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. So anyways.
With the little kid mowing the lawn.
Somebody's going to be like, what the... The episode was going great until the last 6 minutes, and you had to bring up Trump.
Thanks for sticking with us to the last 6 minutes. Appreciate you.
Former fan 797 yeah, yeah, or whatever yeah. your name was. Oh, my God. There's all kinds of fight scenes, sort of. but then, Guile sees Charlie as Blanca, and for the first time, his initial reaction, instead of like, hey, I wonder if any of my friend is left in there, Charlie doesn't even ask him to kill him.
No.
His just initial reaction is, yeah, I'll help you. He says, help me.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I'll help you.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Like, Jesus. Dude, you're the reason he became this, because you called him out on national TV.
Yeah.
International TV. And his first thing, and then Dalsam, who in the game is this awesome, he has stretchy arms, and like he can punch like 10 feet away, and in this he's just like a British dude, I guess, who yeah. then gets his hair burned off by chemicals.
Sure.
So he stops him.
There are a lot of people who like turn on Bison at the drop of a hat.
Yeah. Well, guy was grumpy from the beginning.
He was, but like, why employ him then? You know what I mean?
He was handcuffed the whole time. He was chained.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then at the end, he's like, I'll help him. But then helping him ends up just being, hey, I'm going to cuddle with you while we die in this exploding building.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, why didn't you guys escape?
That was better than getting shot in the head, I guess.
I guess by your best friend,
yeah.
who didn't even ask to do it.
But does he even know him anymore? He's changed.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. He has changed.
Yeah.
He's also on lots of coke.
He's after that ass.
he's on a mission.
Yeah.
That ass is overdue.
He's got to collect.
And if it's anything like when movies were overdue at Blockbuster when I worked there,
Oof.
You had to collect.
Oof.
Don't even get me started on Be Kind Rewind, man. People did not rewind, and that would be so frustrating.
They were unkind. The worst is when it came back to you like halfway through the movie, and you're like, why'd you stop it here?
Yeah.
Why didn't you just either rewind it or watch the rest of it?
I don't know, man. Yeah, they were just lazy.
I don't know.
So then Ken tries to be a jerk and bail, and he comes back to help Ryu while Ryu's getting his ass kicked by Sagat and Vega. And then there's this pretty cool fight scene in yeah. the locker room between yeah. Vega and Sagat and Ken and Ryu. But I feel like, again, that's where it's more of a kid's thing, because they get kind of knocked out and are like, whoa, 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 like you just expect like a, whoa, 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 whoa. Like at least Mortal Kombat, there's some violence to the fight scenes. I mean, Scorpion gets his head lopped off by a spike shield and volcanic lava's erupting from it, you know, and there's some cool stuff in it. And then the Mortal Kombat Annihilation feels like a softcore porn parody that happened to be an actual sequel to the movie with no sex.
Nice.
That's I literally watched Mortal Kombat Annihilation after I did we do Mortal Kombat on here?
Mm-mm.
Either way, I watched it after that, and I literally was like, this feels like a porn parody, but where nobody's having sex and nobody's really fighting either.
It's not a fun parody.
It's not a fun parody. Uh-huh. Like, why even do it?
Yeah.
That was was really a weird tangent when we only have 3 minutes left. Now Guile and Bison have squared off. The armies are there. Cammy has been fighting her way up. She yells out thrust kick before she does a kick. And I love that because I get that it's from the game, but it makes no sense in the real world. Like, if I was like, right hook, you'd be like, cool, I'll block
Great.
It.
let me get out of the way.
Let me dodge. Left hook. Anyways, so this is clip number 7. This is when Bison is very excited his ass is going to be collected.
You have made me a happy man.
Next, I'll make you a dead one.
Yeah!
Next, I'll make you a dead one. Yeah! So good. So there's this huge fight, and again, I use that term loosely, but in the context of this. But then there's other things, like when they have the two Japanese soldiers from the AN trying to change the security channel, and it switches to Zangief and E. Honda fighting, and they're watching them fight over Bisonopolis, and Godzilla sound effects are coming from the TV.
Yep.
It's hysterical because it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like, there's no reason. Are they perceiving it that way? Was there... what is happening?
I think Godzilla was in the room.
He must have been.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of.
I mean, it just makes no sense, but I loved it. And then they're kicking the crap out of each other. Bison gets knocked into a panel and electrocuted, and then his suit brings him back to life. But before that, Guile thinks he's dead, so he says clip number 8.
Colonel, are you all right?
I'm okay. I'm just half dead.
And Bison?
All dead.
So ridiculous. I know we're running out of time, so we're just going to get to it. So Bison comes back to life. He has this electromagnetic thing that he explains really quickly that I don't fully grasp, that makes him fly, makes him shoot energy. Which, if you had all this, why didn't you use
it? He should have done it way earlier.
Why didn't you do it earlier? Yeah. But I guess it was his sportsmanship until he was killed by Guile. And then he was like, well, I guess I should, you know. And Guile does do a couple of his flash kicks, which are the backwards backflip kicks. This is Guile saying, you know, he has a god complex. He's admitting it.
You still refuse to accept my godhood. Keep your own god. In fact, this might be a good time to pray to him. For I beheld Satan and he fell from heaven like lightning.
My favorite part of it is from heaven. It's so good. Oh, rest in peace, Raul Julia, because this is such a good performance that this movie doesn't deserve, but it makes it. I honestly think he's what saves this movie. We have to play this one last sound clip, then we got to get out of here. But Zangief realizes Bison's a bad guy. He also learns how to do a thumbs up in the end instead of a sideways thumbs up. So he has a pretty big arc.
Can we play? He came out on top.
Clip number 10.
General Bison, he's a bad guy. You know this, then why do you serve him?
Because he paid me African fortune, moron.
You got paid?
God, I love this movie. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Please tweet at us if you've seen Street Fighter. Where does it rank in your video game adaptation movies? Do you love it? Do you hate it? And also send some suggestions our way. We're thinking about Darkman eventually coming up. If you have any romantic comedy guilty movie pleasures, that'd be fun to do in the month of February.
Well done.
I can't speak. So I had a lot of coffee and it's kicking in right now. Perfect. So yeah, send us some romantic comedy guilty movie pleasure suggestions to change it up. Until next time, you can find me at the Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram. And Jesse, where can they find you?
On Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse, and for Sketch at The Prom Losers.
You're so much calmer than I am. Smile. Until next time. Hadouken!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.